We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writing to young Timothy. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, and we know that means the living, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now verse 5 is what I want to use. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Now, I want to preach to you this morning, by the help of the Lord, on that one verse there. Of course, it encompasses the whole chapter, but those main, that verse 5 there. And really, I guess it's a message to me. I guess it probably... applies more to me as the pastor or a preacher than it does to anybody else, but they are a great responsibility there for the church. There's a great responsibility there for the church, each one of us here this morning that's saved, that makes up the body of Christ. And so the book of 2 Timothy here, especially chapter 3 and chapter 4, is not speaking primarily of conditions in the world. In other words, they will get worse as far as sin is concerned. I don't think anybody doubts that. I think we have seen the progression of how much worse it gets, seem like every day. So that is no question this morning about that it's going to get worse. Sin is, and we know unrighteousness and lawlessness and all of these things and evil and all the other things that the Bible tells us that are going to happen. So we know these things are, and the Bible tells us about these things. Rather, these passages of Scripture here that we're looking at is the condition of the local church in the last days. Now, that's what I want us to see here, not how bad the world's going to get, but what I want us to see here is the condition of the local church in these last days in which we're living. Now, I really do believe that we are living in the last days. There is no doubt in my mind that that is not true. And when I talk about the church, I'm not talking about a big, universal, invisible body of saved people. But I'm talking about the local church. I'm talking about you and I that are right here this morning that makes up this body here at Union Temple. So the Lord chose in this age of grace in which you and I live to work through local churches. That's how that God has chose to work. That's how that He intends to work and does work. Is through the local church, through a group of people like you and I that are sitting here this morning. So many of these churches will be affected by the things that are written here, and it tells us the way that many in the local church will react, especially when the truth of God is preached. Now, that's what it tells us here. It tells us how, in the last days, how that many are going to react that are sitting in the church, professing to be saved people, professing to be right with God, and how, when they hear the truth preached, how that they will react. And so 2 Timothy was written to Timothy, but Paul here gives an admonition to all pastors so they'll know exactly what we're to follow. God gives us instructions here to what to do. Even though he hones in here on the pastor, it also is written to the local church. And they will know exactly what I as a pastor and what pastors are supposed to do. You'll know. You can read that verse right there, and you don't have any doubt what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. So, verse 5, the Christian life is a warfare because that we are in a conflict with three distinct enemies. And you've heard me say them over and over and over. These enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. So we're in a warfare. We understand that this morning. The more we move toward holiness, the more we move toward a holy and a pure witness, the more we move toward proclaiming the Word of God as it is to men, that we know the greater the attack the devil will be upon us. As we try to live closer to the Lord and do more for Him, absolutely the greater the attack of the devil is going to be upon us. So the pastor is appointed as overseer of the local church. And so as a result of that, we as pastors are going to have a stricter evaluation at the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll be called into account about these things that are mentioned right here in verse 5. I understand that. I understand that's what that I'm going to be accountable for one of these days. So our text lists four expectations of the pastor of a local church as he fulfills them. But I may say this right here. But as Christians, yes, this is my responsibility, but as Christians, you are supposed to support me, and you are supposed to walk with me, and you're supposed to help me and pray for me as I try, as I fulfill these expectations here that is placed upon the pastor. So the first thing I want you to see that he says, watch thou in all things. Look at verse 5. Watch thou in all things. The word watch reminds us of the same responsibility that the prophets in the Old Testament had. Ezekiel was a prophet. That in the same way, similar to an evangelist today. Evangelists and pastors share this particular responsibility. Now, I want you to flip with me over to Ezekiel, if you will, and verse 33 through, and begin reading in verse 6. I want you to turn there. I'm going to deal with something this morning you probably never heard from the pulpit. I've never heard it from the pulpit preached on or expounded on, but I want you to turn there and look at that as we look into this scripture. He says here in verse 6 of Ezekiel 33, he says, if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. Now here is what I want you to see. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. I have heard that quoted from the pulpit. I've heard preachers say that. But I've never ever heard anybody ever tell me what that means. What does that mean when it says that if you don't tell people and warn people, then the blood is going to be required at your hands? That tells me that there's some kind of a penalty, there's some kind of consequences that is going to that you're going to face as a Christian if you fail to warn people about being saved. So look here in verse 7. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore they shall hear the word of my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from the way. That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his ways to turn from him, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Now that's something that is written to the prophet of God. It's something that the preacher is supposed to do. He says, watch. Now that word watch there is a reference to a military type of setting. And so the guard is in the watchtower. And it's nighttime. And the world is in a period of darkness. Sin abounds. And the one in the watchtower is to look, it said, about to see the enemy's movement. And he watches for potential problems. Here he is, the watchman up there in the watchtower, looking out over the landscape. And when he sees an enemy, he is to warn them of the danger, immediately warn the people if and when he sees them. Now, here the pastor is the watchman who is stationed in the local church. That's God's plan. That's not my plan. I didn't come up with this. They was pastors a long time before I was ever was on the scene. So God's plan has been from the very beginning, since he established the church in the first century. The pastor is the watchman who is stationed in the local church. He watches the devil as he makes attacks upon the lives of God's people. And the ways of this world and the life cares of life can get Christian people off track. I don't know how many times that I've stood here, and I know and I've seen, and God showed it to me, how many Christian people out there were involved in things that were going to get them off track and get them out of church and get them out of the will of God. And I stand here and sound the trumpet. And that's what I'm supposed to do. And so we need to warn them of sin that abounds about them. Now the Ezekiel passage that I just read tells this prophet that he is a watchman who is to cry loudly to warn them. If he doesn't, they will die, but their blood will be required at his hands. He said, if you do not warn them, they will die. But more so than that, their blood will be required at your hand. If he warns them, and they do not heed, they do not listen, they will still die, but he will not be held accountable for it, because a decision to follow Christ is a personal one. We all know that. I can lead you to Jesus, but I cannot accept him for you. I cannot make that personal choice for you. That's a personal choice. Salvation is. In other words, you had to make it. I had to make it. Everybody's ever been saved had to make that personal choice. Somebody may have led you to him, but you have to make that. It's a decision, was personal, and it's between you and the Lord. So it's a great, if we lead somebody to Christ, that's wonderful. But we can only lead them to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It's wonderful to lead somebody. But I can't save nobody. You can't save nobody. But you can lead them to the Lord. But they have to make that decision to follow. And from that point on, once you get him led to Jesus, from that point on, that individual has to make a decision on whether or not he's going to follow the Lord. You lead him. Now here, it's where I'm coming to what I said I have never in my life have ever heard. I have never heard a preacher even attempt to try to explain this. I have read over it myself, and I have never ever even thought much about it. Until I was studying this scripture, and I said, God, I want to know. I want to know what this means. I want to know what this is. And I cannot take scripture and prove to you that this is what it is. But I want you to know, and if you do not believe this is what it is, then that's your decision, and you still get to go to heaven. But we just disagree if you don't agree with me. But we disagree in love. Is that not right? But listen, we want you to see that Ezekiel, I know with all my heart, Ezekiel was a saved man. He was God's man. He was saved. And some have thought that this particular passage teaches that if he doesn't warn the people, he will lose his salvation and he'll be cast into the lake of fire. But that is not it at all. That is not what that's saying. If that is the case, everybody sitting here this morning, you wouldn't make it. Because there's people that you have failed to warn. There is people that I have failed to warn. There are people that God allowed to cross through by my path that I could have shared Jesus with them and should have shared Jesus with them. But I did not. So if that means if you fail to warn somebody that you're going to be cast into the lake of fire, then we're in trouble. Everybody sitting here this morning, we're in trouble. If you might, and I know some of you sitting here say, well, I've warned everybody. I know we got one or two of those. But I'm talking to the majority of us. I'm talking to the majority. I know I failed. And that's the only one that I can answer to. But I want you to see, he was a saved man. And so in this right here, and this is what I believe, and this is what I believe that God showed to me. It's telling us that in eternity, that you that and I that have failed to warn people will see those people cast into the eternal lake of fire. Now don't jump ahead of me. I'm going to get to this. I'm going to get to what maybe you be thinking. We are going to see those people that we have failed to warn. We're going to see them cast into the eternal lake of fire, but their blood will be on our hands and all of heaven will know it. You say, oh, I never had seen that before. I never had thought about that before, preacher. I've heard preachers say it. I walked up to them and said, what does that mean? They said, I don't know. I don't know what that means. It sounded good. It sounds serious. It does sound serious. The blood's going to be at my hand. I believe that that's why that the Bible says that eyes are dried after the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Revelation 21:4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, what I'm talking about up here, when we have failed to witness to people, and when they are cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment, and we're going to see that this right here that I'm talking about happens after the great white throne judgment has taken place, where all of those who were without Christ appeared before the Lord and were then cast into the eternal lake of fire. That's going to happen one of these days. Everybody that refuses to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment and going to be judged and cast into the lake of fire forever. The devil is also cast in that place of all eternity. Wiping away all the tears takes place 1,007 years after the rapture. 1,007 years after the rapture. We know that after the rapture, 7 years, and then Jesus comes back, and then we reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. The saved in heaven we'll see people cast in the lake of fire, and the blood is on their hands because they could have witnessed to them, but they did not. This is given to the prophet to speak to God's people. But after you see that, if you want to look over in Revelation 20 and 21, after you see that, it says at the great white throne judgment, and then if you go on down through there, they were cast into the lake of fire, and you go on down through there, and you come to chapter 21, it says, and John saw a new heaven and a new earth and the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. After you see that, God's going to wipe all the tears, all the remembrance of anything like that away out of your eyes or your mind. And then you'll get to enjoy the bliss of heaven. But you will, I believe with all of my heart, there's a penalty. There's a consequence. There's a reality. Some people take this very lightly when this preacher stands up here and preaches on this. Say, I don't have to go out and witness if I don't want to. I don't have to tell people about Jesus. I'll go to heaven one of these days and I'll just hop all over heaven and have a big time. That's not the way it's going to be. You are going to face the fact that you didn't do what you're supposed to do. And I don't know how it's going to feel. I don't know how it's going to feel when you see somebody that you care about cast into the lake of fire. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to feel. People that you should have witnessed to. People that you should. Their blood shall be required at your hands. But if you've told them and they refused, then they're still going to die. They're still going to be cast in the lake of fire, but you have cleared yourself. So just think about it. You say, preacher, I don't believe you're right. Well, what to do if I am right? What if I am right? Can you prove I'm wrong by the Word of God? No, and I can't prove I'm right by the Word of God. But I can prove that there is some kind of a consequence for not telling people about Jesus. God's serious about this thing. God is very, very serious about how you're supposed to live as a Christian. So this is given to the prophet to speak to God's people, Israel, to warn them of their wicked ways and their worldliness and their religion and their personal lives. And they warn them about the sins they've committed. Ezekiel is also told to name the sins and to tell it as it is. Now, if you will, look in Ezekiel 33, 30 through 33. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. Man, oh man, has not people changed? Not changed any. Go in the house behind the closed doors and talk about the preacher. And speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they are before thee as my people, and they hear thy word, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they spew much love. Oh, my, 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 my. But their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy word, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. God said it's going to happen. God said it's going to take place. It's going to happen just like I said it would. Then shall they know that a prophet has been among you. God, have pity on me as a pastor. If I cower down whenever I know that people are behind closed walls are talking about me and gossiping about me, and behind closed doors or their own houses or anywhere else they can get a group of people to talk about the pastor, God help me if I would cower down and be afraid to preach against sin and name sin because somebody was talking about you because you were preaching against sin. God have mercy on me. Listen, because somebody's upset with you because you're preaching against sin. God have mercy on me. God have mercy on me as a pastor who will, if I refuse to name sin and call sin by its name. People don't get saved until they realize they're sinners and they're headed to a devil's hell. We're told that the faithful servant of God will warn from the watchtower of the pulpit. That's where the watchtower is. It's right here at this pulpit. Sometimes the church has hard preaching. Meaning, what is hard preaching? Hard preaching, when you hear people talk about hard preaching, that means that the pastor stands in the pulpit and he names sin. He calls sin, but now he don't generalize it and just put it in one big group and talk about sin. He names all of its filthiness, all of its wickedness. He names righteous things that we should do. And he names what Christians are supposed to do. Hard preaching also talks about the coming judgment. But some will say, I don't like that kind of preaching. I don't want to hear it. Is that not what verse 3 and 4 says? People in the last days say, I don't want to hear that kind of preaching. I don't want to hear a preacher stand up there and call homosexuality a sin. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear a preacher stand up there and say abortion is sin. I don't want to hear that. I'll go somewhere else where they don't handle that kind of talk. God said, God have mercy on a preacher that wouldn't call sin sin just because he's afraid it hurt somebody's feelings. Or afraid somebody would leave the church. There may be others who are active in Sunday school or some kind of a minister of the church, and they say, if I wasn't in this ministry, if I didn't do that there in that church, I wouldn't be here. That's the very ones. That's the very people that Paul is talking about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And those people appear at the judgment seat of Christ. They'll find it's not good or profitable for them to have had that kind of an attitude. They're going to find out that wasn't very pleasing to God for them to take an attitude like that. God pity the church member who leaves a church because they don't want to hear hard preaching. God have mercy on a church member that would leave a church because he don't want to hear sin called by its name. So the Apostle Paul, they want the preacher to speak unto us. Isaiah 30 says, unto us smooth things. Say nice sounding things to us. Make us feel good in the flesh. Make us feel good. We must maintain a strict discipline, but as the watchman who cannot sleep or take a quick nap while on the job, we must be disciplined, keep our eye out for the impure that would corrupt our doctrine and corrupt the lives of people. We must stay with the right guidebook. What is the right guidebook? It's this book right here. We've got to stay with it. We got to stay with the King James 16:11. We cannot get away from it. What are you saying, preacher? We've got to stay with it. It's interesting that about 50 years ago, people started writing all kinds of new versions of the Bible. Now you listen to what I'm saying. 50 years ago, they started writing. Today, there's more than 200 new versions of the Bible, many of which are already out of print. They're already gone. They didn't sell. The King James Bible, now listen to this, and I think it'll answer the question why there's so many different versions. The King James Bible cannot be copyrighted. Nobody can get a copyright to print the King James Bible. But if enough changes are made to it, then publishers can get a copyright. How about that? If they make enough changes, then a publisher can get a copyright, and he can copyright his own Bible and sell it for profit. And so, many say, well, newer versions are easier to understand. Well, is that the reason then why that homosexuality was in the closet 50 years ago and now it's open? Because it's harder to understand? The newer version is easier to understand? Is that telling them to just come out and say that it's all right and we'll just put people in jail that don't want to go along with it? Is that why the church is more modest and pure today than it was 50? No. That's the opposite. The church was more modest and pure 50 years ago than it is today. So because we got a newer version that we can understand better, that hasn't worked in that category. So we see here then what we're saying. The evidence stands before and streams at us. As we close our eyes and we refuse to see. Look what Hebrews 13:7 said. Remember them which have the rule over you, when they have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. That's simply saying, when the preacher preaches to you and you hear the word of God, do what the word of God says. You're not doing what the preacher says, you're doing what God says.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.